Well, saints, I'm going to talk to you about the victory that we got in Jesus. You know, the enemy has come at us in so many different ways. It's all for a good purpose from God's point of view, and we understand that, and that is great. He has come at us from so many different ways, and he always gets whooped. And that's because God didn't make anything that could whoop him, right? So, but anyway, this exercise, you know, builds up our spiritual muscles and causes us to come into perfection, the Bible teaches. Trials, tribulations do that. And he said, count it all joy. So, we're joying because the Lord has told us the enemy's plans and schemes ahead of time so we can pray against them. You know? Thank you, Lord. So, I want to share this with you. It's a revelation given to Eve Brast on 29th of September 2015, and we called it "The Bride Overcomes Witchcraft and Faction." And you know, we read the end of the book, so we know how it's going to turn out, so we're real happy about it. She said, "I had a short dream before waking up this morning. I dreamed I was standing outside a large log cabin, two-story house." And I believe that this is talking about those in the wilderness. But she went on to say that the UBM brethren were staying in. And I was watching my two sons, Elijah and Josiah, running towards the house. Oh, praise God. Because, I mean, both of these in the scriptures are types of man children. The man-child body, right? They were happy and excited. Elijah ran up to me and said, "I'm going to play football with them." And I believe football here represents the war between opposing sides. The one which we absolutely know we're going to win because the Lord says so. Amen? And, well, he said, I'm going to play football with them. And it was referring to a group of unruly, menacing, heckling teenagers. Well, you know, teenagers are known for rebellion, but these are particularly bad. So, and we believe that this represents the witchcraft faction rebellion. And these had pulled up in a vehicle outside the log cabin. We had on a white, lightweight, no, excuse me, he had on, that's Josiah. He had on a white, lightweight styrofoam helmet on his head. It looked like a biking helmet. I said, "You can't play football with them using that helmet. You have to have a proper football helmet or they will injure you." You probably know where this is going, right? I then put a real football helmet on his head. And as you know, the helmet of salvation protects the mind from Satan's slander darts, his fiery darts, right? Amen. We got to be suited up. You know, the Lord, the helmet of salvation means you know you're saved, and you know you're saved from any of the garbage that the devil can send to you, right? It is a thing of faith. It's like the shield of faith, right? I then took them inside the house, and we went upstairs. And several of the brethren were walking around in the house. They were in some sort of confusion or mental turmoil and anguish. Some were offended with one another, and others just had a confused look on their faces and didn't understand what was happening. Well, we understand that. This is a warning from the Lord. It's not that it's a prophecy, but it's a warning from the Lord. And we know that this is another test from the Lord to harden the brethren from gossip and slander, and remove any who don't have love. a cleansing of the bride, right? It makes us hold even tighter to the Lord's word as a defense against the hatred and lying spirits as seen in these testings, right? I went over to the window and looked down at the lawn, and I saw the source of all this confusion and discontentment, the group of teenagers, those who have become possessed with witchcraft and faction, was yelling at us and throwing Hail Mary-style water balloons at the UBM house. The wicked, she has in parenthesis, the wicked trying to soak our minds with their evil war of words. We know their tactics. And after this, I went over to a circle of seven brethren that had joined hands in continual prayer with Elijah, who made a total of eight. I stood between Brother David and Elijah, who was now a full-grown man, and joined hands with them both in warfare against the attackers. I knew in the dream that we were all being tested and tempted with vain imaginations and offenses, because as I stood waiting to join the prayer circle between David and Elijah, who were holding hands, they didn't let me in right away, and I had to wait patiently. And, you know, spirits of offense are pretty easy to see and understand. They take advantage of every opportunity to cause offense. But this is good training as we cast it down and become hardened to it, right? Become wise under Satan's devices, right? And she went on to say, illegal thoughts were coming to my mind that were attacking David and Elijah and telling me that they were against me and were ignoring me on purpose. But as I corrected my thinking about them with loving and graceful thoughts of them and casting down all the negative thoughts that were coming to my mind, they realized I wanted to join the circle, and they grabbed my hands, and we all did spiritual warfare together against the enemy outside the house. Amen. Well, I think this is a clear type. Eve, as a type of the bride of the last Adam, just as Eve was the bride of the first Adam, right, must be tested and separated from the women, as in Esther and Song of Solomon. You know, the bride is love, just as God is. So they taketh not account of evil, as we're commanded. And the bride is perfected through temptations. You know, people don't like temptations. They don't like to get in the place of temptations. It's kind of nasty, so on and so forth. But what does the Bible say about it? Why does God do this? Since He works all things after the counsel of His own will, why does He put you in places of temptations? James chapter 1 and 2, it tells us very clearly, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. Manifold means many times, you know, manifold temptations. Count it all joy. Why are we supposed to be joyful about temptations? Well, he goes on to say in verse 3, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Look at that. Temptations prove your faith and work patience so that you can be perfect in all that you do. How about that? Isn't that awesome? See, so the Lord can bring you some pretty obnoxious people. You know, He uses vessels of dishonor to insult you, to tempt you, to test you. Even like the devil tested Jesus. He's pretty obnoxious, right? So, anyway, going on down to verse 12 in James chapter 1, we find that blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Some people don't endure it. They find it easier to give in to their flesh, you know. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he hath been approved, that is, by enduring temptation, he shall receive the crown of life. So the people who don't endure temptation don't get a crown of life. Well, that's right. Eventually, you're going to have to endure temptation. Right? Which the Lord promised to them that love him. He promised a crown of life to those that love him. And as you know, Jesus said, those that keep his commandments love him. One thing about a person with witchcraft and faction is they will not keep his commandments. They cannot keep his commandments. They ignore them. They get indignant that you expect them to obey the word. And they totally ignore you if you give them the word. They just come back with insults and so on, you know. That's why a factious person after a first and second admonition refuse. You know why God says that? You only give them two chances. You correct them twice, and then you refuse them. You don't talk to them no more. Because they have particularly nasty and dangerous demons in them. You know. Faction's not too bad by itself. I mean, it's just divisive. But when you add witchcraft to it, they are particularly overcome. Powerfully overcome by witchcraft. You know, Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days, and when he overcame, he was given the throne of David. And the Davids and the bride are overcoming to reign too. You see, that's clear. And through this same process, the Lord is separating the bride from the not-so-beautiful gals to be chosen from among, right? As we see in Esther and Song of Solomon. So, I mean, the bride is so beautiful because she is obedient and submissive to the husband, right? Hallelujah. So God is using this process right here, you know, to purify, sanctify, perfect the beauty of his bride and separate her from the others. And she said, this dream is similar to the vision I had about my sons running toward me at a local park on a narrow path, and a black-haired teenager, another rebellious person, black-haired, submitted to darkness, right? Representing the witchcraft faction rebellion, came running at them with an empty black fishing rod up over his head, as if he was going to hit them over the head with it. Well, the enemy tries to catch us by knocking us off the narrow path of God's word, right? But he was prevented by a walled partition that was between him and my sons on the path. And she said the black empty fishing rod represents the enemy trying to, and I inserted there, catch us, and also, she said, stop us from being fishers of men. That's true. Because the devil hates what we do. He don't like our materials at all. He don't like anything that comes out of the Bible, and he's trying to stop it because he knows a great revival is going to come from all this. Not just us, but he's got people all over the world he is preparing to bring in this revival. And she said, the verse I received was Job 38 and 40. When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert, to lie in wait. Yes, they lie to capture, to to destroy, to hurt men, right? And we've been getting quite a few of these lately, as you know. It's because they're mounting their last attack. Yep. The Sennacherib scenario. But you know what? It's going to be a great victory because this time the Lord says He's had enough. And this is by Sandy Shaw on September the 25th. And we called it, "Those Who Love Will Not Be Deceived." You know, when we love God, we keep His commandments. The people who keep His commandments have never been the ones that get deceived, as the Bible clearly says. It's the ones that have secret sins, or rebellion, or pride. They go down, and the Lord does not support them. And so they fail. They fall. And they don't even know they're falling. That's the thing about it. And Sandy said, "In a dream in which I saw everything in black and white, I am standing in a room, and a sister walks in upset with me. She has tears in her eyes. She said, 'Sandy, why did you lie? Why did you lie to me?' And I said, 'I don't understand what you mean.' And she turned and walked out upset." Well, witchcraft and factious spirits, whether they're in or out of the fallen vessel that they take over, misrepresent us to others. They lie about what we said, about what we did, about what our intentions are, about what we meant by this or that. They always impute sin when there is none. And they are totally ungodly in that they give no grace, love, or forgiveness to anybody. But the righteous know that they are sin, and they resist them, and they overcome them. And this is using that faith muscle to make them stronger and stronger. It's kind of like boot camp. You know, they toughen you up, you know, so you can take the bigger battle down the road, right? Yeah. Well, then a brother came in and said, "Have you made the decision about the corn?" I said, "What corn?" He asked the corn we were talking about. "So, what's your decision?" And I thought, I did not know what he was talking about. So I said, "Well, put a little butter and salt on it and eat it." And he said, "What's the matter with you? Do you think there's another Sandy running around here?" Yeah, there are people who represent Sandy running around here. You know, misquote Sandy running around here. Misjudge Sandy running around here. That's the point, right? And Sandy said, "I was puzzled," and said, "No, but I was confused." Then he left upset. Then another sister comes through the door saying, she said, came through the door crying, excuse me. She said, "How could you do that to me? That hurt me." As I was about to answer, "What did I do?" she had already turned and left upset. So I asked the Lord, "What's going on here? I don't understand this at all." And then I saw a woman running, and I chased after her because she looked like me. And I told her to stop, but she didn't. So I tackled her. And as soon as I fell on her, she disappeared before we hit the floor. So these accusing spirits of slander and railing can be cast down, or God wouldn't be warning us about this ahead of time, as it is in this dream. You know, when He warns you about things, they don't have to be a prophecy of something that is coming. When He warns you of these things, you just go right to prayer, and you begin to bind and loose and cast down. And guess what? It never comes. Because, why does He do that? Because He says, "You have not because you ask not." He knows what's coming. And rather than test you with it, he would rather you just be against it and that you cast it down so it doesn't have to happen. Amen? I sat there cross-legged and wondered, what just happened here? Then I hear a laugh to the left of me, and there was standing a black witch. In other words, witchcraft. And I know the people have ideas about witches, but a witch is just somebody that has witchcraft. And they might even be called a Christian, as I've pointed out before. But witchcraft really empowers faction, which is division. And this black witch was attempting to cause division. And she gave a sinister laugh and said, "See, I told you I would bring division and strife, and I'm starting with you." Then she laughed again in that sinister laugh. Then I said, "Those who know God trust and rely on Him and cannot be deceived by your lies and trickery." Well, you know, in a dream, when you say such things, this is true. And the bride will escape because of her love of the brethren and her love of God. The rest, who loved not the truth, will go into a crucifixion by the beast to become holy or else be reprobated. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming." You know, let me say that there's one manifestation of this at the end of the tribulation and one at the beginning of the tribulation. And we know that the Lord is coming, and we're going to see a revelation in just a minute about the Lord coming as in spirit. Hosea 6:2-3. He's coming as the latter rain. He's coming as the glory in one of the dreams that follows this one. He's going to bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. He's going to destroy the wicked work of the lawless ones. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, as we see here. And with all deceit of unrighteousness, as we see here, for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. So they're able to deceive them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. If you love the truth and you obey the rules, they can't touch you. Amen. If it tells you to have no company with them, have no company with them, or they will be able to hurt you, right? That they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You want to be saved? Love God's word. Obey the rules when it comes to wicked people. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. He sends them a delusion, that they will believe a lie, so that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, the Bible says if you have to have two or three witnesses before you can accuse anybody of anything. The Bible says that if somebody says something, they have to go to the person that they're accusing first and talk to them alone. And see, they never obey the rules. And when you find out they haven't obeyed the rules, you need to tell, hey, somebody that comes to you to talk against somebody else, you tell them, "Did you talk to them?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, go talk to them. You got no business talking to me." And usually they'll ignore you. And then they'll go on. But you see, a first and second admonition refuse, right? Obey the rules. Receive not an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. Romans 13:9. For this is the verse that she was given here. for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Well, they're guilty of all of that. Thou shalt not covet. Yeah, that too. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this, knowing the season, that already it's time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. Amen. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And she was also given 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Yes, we've been given the word of God to be able to deal with Satan safely. You know? And if a person doesn't obey, they're just opening themselves up to Satan's work. Amen? All right, I'm going to go on and share some more with you here. I think I'm going to share with you a couple of portions of previous dreams, because they all kind of fit together. And in this dream on the 14th, I shared in completion with you, but I'm going to share you a portion of it. It says, in a dream I was battling and growing very tired. And of course, when we do the work of the Lord in our own strength, we do get worn down, and God has strong help to help us if we'll just rely upon it. It was almost dawn, and the Lord was standing beside me. He said, Sandra, command the angels. And I looked to my right side, and the light grew bright, and I saw hundreds of thousands of warrior angels just waiting for our commands. Yes, amen. And another one that she had that I'd like to share a piece of with you is called Enemy Plans Thwarted by the Angels. And once again, she was confronted with evil spirits of witchcraft. I started praying, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the warrior angels. I know there is enough angels for them to stand before these who are cursing and wanting ill will done to us. So send forth the angels to stand before them and fight. Remember, you have not because you ask not even this simple thing. Do you know that many times the angels of God are standing right there beside you while you're wrestling, you know, with principalities and powers, but maybe in your flesh, because it's really their job to do. You know, when you speak faith, you speak the commands of God, you know, by faith. It is the angels that carry that out. In Revelation 12, it was the angels who cast down Satan and his army. But it said the saints overcame him because of the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their life unto death, and because of the blood of the Lamb. Okay? They won the battle. The angels physically carried out the work, but they won because of the word of their testimony, and because they did not want to walk in the old flesh anymore, and because they knew of the blood of the Lamb, the good news, right? The good news is we've been delivered out of the power of darkness. And we win. We win now. You don't have to wait to win. We win now. And, of course, many Christians don't know that they have this authority, and they're just getting bludgeoned by the enemy. Hebrews 1 and 13 says, but of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? So Sandy said, I ask that you reverse the curse spoken against us until salvation comes to them, meaning the witches, right? And if not, remove them permanently. And the witches were so mad at this that they were hissing and spitting. Yeah. Well, you'll notice something here, that when the witches were conquered, the Lord comes to bring us through the tribulation wilderness. See, I think we're really close, because he's warning about something that's upon us now, you see. And then she says, then all of UBM was on a dirt road walking with Jesus. Oh, glory to be to God. And this represents going into the wilderness with Jesus and the man-child. Then a man was on the left side of the road. He shouted and he raised both hands up. No, stop. It is not yet your time. And those on the left, the goats, this man was on the left, are in rebellion and witchcraft. And they can never hear God's time. It's never God's time. And they have a defiled heart and mind. But Jesus calmly said, no, now is the time. And I woke up with goosebumps. So the wilderness tribulation and the coming of the Lord as the latter rain is very near. You know, Hosea 6, 1 and 3, he's coming as the rain, as the latter rain. He's not coming riding on the white horse in the physical like in Revelation 19 at the end of the tribulation period. But he is coming as the man-child. The white horse rider in Revelation 6. He is coming. And it says in Hosea 6, 1 through 3, that he's coming as the latter rain on the morning of the third day, which is where we are now. But notice how close that is with this revelation that was given to Trish just a couple days ago. And we called it Faction Conquered, Preparing the Way for the Coming of the Lord. And this is Trish Conway. She said, as Tim and I were praying and doing spiritual warfare, I had a vision in which there was darkness. And then I saw palm branches being laid down over the enemy, as when Jesus rode in on the donkey. Did you get that? I saw palm branches being laid down over the enemy. Well, it was the mud, obviously, that they were trying to separate Jesus from. The mud, right? By putting down the palm branches. So he rode in on the donkey, but it was on the palm branches. And then I felt and saw the glory riding in as a light, crushing the enemy below the palms and overcoming the presence of darkness. Wow. Again, Hosea 6, 2 and 3 says he will come as the latter rain, the glory, right, on the morning of the third day. Oh, praise God. Crushing the enemy. Well, this fits. This fits with everything the Lord has told us, but there's two witnesses there. You know, at the time of the coming of the Lord, the faction loses the battle, big time. It's the anointing. It's this anointing that's coming. So, you know, this is a world action on Satan's part, to attempt to devour the man, child, and the bride and mute their influence in the earth. Well, fat chance, because God is against them. and warning us about their every move so we can pray against it. So they can only get what is theirs by common beastly nature, right? People listen to them and follow them because they're like them. So, in effect, this is sanctifying the real body of their spots and blemishes. You know, Jude talked about them being spots and blemishes in our feasts, feasting with us, right? But the Lord is separating the bride. He wants a sanctified bride without spot and blemish, and He's separating these spots and blemishes. And the Lord riding in like this on the donkey and on the enemy, it, of course, reminds you of Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He's coming to save, isn't he? Yes, he is. Lowly and riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And, of course, in the Gospels, they quoted this. Like in Matthew 21, they quoted this when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, which is the bride city, right? He's coming to the bride. Oh, glory be to God. The glory is coming to the bride. You know, the Lord's had enough of the bride being mistreated by the wicked. And he's fixing to do something about it. So Sandy and Trisha's dreams show us that Jesus is coming to guide us through the wilderness when this witchcraft faction attack fails, as they all have. Because we call on God to reverse the curse, as the advice He gave us in the dreams, and the angels go and fight for us, right? According to Isaiah 29, 5 through 8, this visitation of the Lord will destroy the Sennacherib army, the northern army in Joel, if you will, which is the end of this demonic enemy over empowering, and acting through the factious. You know, we need to fight as the Lord told us in these dreams. He's giving us advice. He's giving us direction, giving us wisdom. And we had recently two other dreams where we were told to fight together as one. You know, in other words, one accord. Remember when the Holy Spirit was poured out when they were in one accord? Just remember this, saints. Let it get into your soul. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Okay, that's to God's saints. It's to God's sanctified ones. If you're not sanctified, you're not walking in faith, you're not being obedient, you can't really use this. It don't belong to you. So, cover the brethren, cover their property, cover their families, cover their income, cover their possessions, with prayer and commands. Forbid the enemy everything. Scatter the forces of darkness. It's the bride's job. Just as we see in the book of Esther and the book of Song of Solomon and Psalm 45, it's the bride's job. So, don't let Satan whoop you, because you've been given all the authority of the Lord. And you've been given the angels, and you've been given the authority to call upon God to reverse the curse, right? Amen. Man, God is so good. Praise be to God. And Father, we just We take this opportunity to put our faith together, to bind the witches, to bind the witchcraft, the faction, the slander, the lies that have come against us. We bind it, we cast it down in Jesus' name. We stand upon our word. You said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So we believe we have received, Lord. We believe that this enemy is a mass confusion. We believe that they will end up shooting at one another, because that's what you've shown us. We believe that they're too evil to have any kind of unity for very long, just as Satan's troops are too. And we thank you, Lord, that that they are no match for you. And you are on the side of those that believe your word, stand on your word, believe in obedience, confess their sins, cast down vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and are overcomers, just as James chapter 1 tells us. Wow, that is such an awesome text there. You know, a lot of God's people don't believe in going through anything, but we're told to count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. And that this proving of your faith, you have to be proven. You have to be proven. You have to stand against evil. You must stand with the Word of God. You must speak the Word of God, right? You must prove your patience in the midst of trials. And the Lord says, if you'll do this, and let patience have its perfect work, you'll be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Now that sounds like the bride to me. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him, the crown of life. We have to be approved. We have to go through these trials. We have to learn to resist. Jesus himself did it. He had to overcome. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And do you think that you're not going to be tempted of the devil? See, your faith has to be proven, right? Nobody will get to reign without having their faith proven. Now, people say they believe things all the time. They say they believe the Bible. But it doesn't take long after they open their mouth to find out if they do or if they don't, right? So their faith is either proven or disproven. Faith without works is dead. You know, the Lord gave us this word, and he warned us that if we add to it or take away from it, he'll add to us the curses that are written in the book, and he'll take our name off of the tree of life, right? So, he gave us this word. He expects us to obey it. When the Lord returns, every man is going to be judged by his works, whether they're good or whether they're bad. When the Lord returns, whether it's the first return, which we know the Lord is coming, as the glory, we know he's coming, as the latter rain, the latter rain is going to first be manifested in the man-child ministry, and then later poured out among the disciples. The former rain is going to be given to those outside the man-child ministry who haven't received it yet or haven't received it in its fullness, so that they can walk with the man-child, with Jesus, you see. I mean, I use the word man-child like all through the Bible there is man-child being used. Somebody that God sends, that He instructs, that He corrects, that He teaches, and He uses to guide His people. And they're called the first fruits. And when the Lord comes, He's going to expect people that are being obedient. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" You can't call Jesus Lord if you're not obeying Him. And you can't say you love Him if you're not obeying Him. And you can't say you love His disciples if you're mistreating them. "Whatsoever you do the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me," He says. That's the way He considers it. What do you think He's going to do when He returns as the glory to a people who have been persecuting and hating His brethren, trying to deceive them, trying to destroy them? What do you think He's going to do? He said He's going to render to every man according to his works. According to his works. So, saints, what the Lord is telling us through all this is He wants us in a united warfare against this enemy. He wants us to come together in one accord against this enemy, to cast them down, to defeat them. I mean, if the thing about spirits, when they come against you and you defeat them, guess what you're defeating at the same time? Your flesh. The problem with the flesh is it's been born from beneath. It is like those spirits. So when you fight against those spirits, whether they're in people or not in people, when you fight against them, you are fighting against your own flesh. Because when you defeat them, you also defeat the flesh. And we can also reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Right? Consider it done, is what he's saying. Consider it done. We have to have that kind of faith and to speak it. You don't have to fear the enemy, saints, if you obey God's word in relationship to them. If you don't, I've seen people that didn't obey the word. When these people came up to talk against somebody else, they were polite instead, and it just took them out. See, the enemy has a sword too. And for all who are in disobedience, their sword is powerful. But for all those who are obedient to the Lord, they have the most powerful sword. And the devil can do nothing with it. He said, "I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Praise God. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that all of our brethren out there who have been tested by these people or are being tested by them now, we pray that you bring to their remembrance these words. We pray that you would empower them to speak the word, to be obedient to the word, to be righteous and to stand up for you, and back off these people from them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's been reported to me from people in larger UBM that some of these people have once again, after giving up earlier, have come forward to try to test and to tempt them and to try to play on their sympathies because they won't talk to them and all these other things, you know. Had people tell me these kind of things. I says, yeah, that's the norm. They try to do everything. Oh, you don't love us, you know, or some foolishness like that. And, of course, it's more important that you don't give in to heeding their words and obeying the Lord, because when you do, that's when they get you, you know. Well, Father, you've given us the victory. We cast down the works of Satan. We cast down the enemy that seeks to hurt our brethren. We thank you that you gave us the victory in Jesus Christ, that Jesus took away our sins at the cross. We believe in the gospel, the good news, which is the power of God to save the one that believes it, as your word says. And we stand upon your word, Lord, and we command and we cast down the enemy. We bind the principalities and powers of witchcraft and faction and slander and lying and stealing and all the other things that they do, fornication and all the other things that these people do without a conscience. We bind these people from our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're looking forward to the day when the demons are smitten and the people who are your elect will be free. We're looking forward to that day. We're rejoicing in that day, Lord. And those that were never yours, but were just tares in the midst, that they will be vanquished. And we won't have to have them tempting or destroying anymore. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We know you're working all things together for our good, Lord. All things. Even the vessels of dishonor, which you work in them to will and to do of your good pleasure too. And you use them for your glory. And you use them to test us, to tempt us. You test, Lord, because you want to separate the bride from the rest. We understand that. And that overcoming the tests is that beauty and that maturity that you want your people to have. And so, Lord, we're just believing you for the greatest results. Lord, we want to be holy. We want to be separate from sin, which is sanctified. We want to be a blessing to the people around us. We want to be full of love so that everything that we do is a blessing to our brethren around us. We want to have that unity. We don't want... the devil seeks disunity. He seeks faction, which is separation. He seeks that. We want that unity among the righteous. And the spots and blemishes gone. And we thank you for doing it, Lord, in us, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the glory of the Lord that is coming to destroy the enemy's works. We thank you, Lord. We believe and we receive the end from the beginning. We give praise unto you, Lord, that you are showing us the enemy's works ahead of time so that we can pray against them, so that we can be on guard. And we praise you for that too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you for sending confusion into the enemy camp. They can do nothing about that. Even though they know what we pray, they can't do anything about it. We just thank you, Lord, for sending your confusion into the enemy's camp. Just like Jehoshaphat's war there, Lord, the enemy came as three, and which this bunch does, and you scatter them because they fight against one another. They all got big egos, Lord. We've actually seen them in rooms talking to one another, and their ego is so big they can't get along with anybody because they all want to be king. They all want to be chief. So their big ego just keeps them apart, which is good. We thank you for humility among your flock, Lord. Humility that we submit one to another, to the gifts that you manifest among your people. We praise you and we thank you for them. We thank you especially, Lord, for all these awesome revelations that you receive, that you give us concerning the things that would come if we did not pray against them. And we thank you for wisdom with all your people out there, Lord, that they would constantly be praying because we have not, because we ask not. And that's what you said, so that they would cover all bases and spend time in prayer every day. In fact, pray without ceasing, constantly, whenever anything comes to mind. We thank you for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And also, Father, we ask that your anointing be with Michael Hare as he shares today, that you would pour out your Spirit upon him, that you would bless him, that those that listen would be attentive, and that you would bring these things to their remembrance, and that they would fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on life eternal. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We're waiting for this awesome revival. We know it's close. You've shown us that, and we're rejoicing, Lord. Lord, thank you for showing us the signs that you gave us in the recent days, feasts, etc. They're all signs of you, signs of your coming, signs of what you're going to do. And we just praise you, Lord, that the righteous are going to be blessed from this day forth, and the wicked are going to find nothing but trouble from this day forth until they repent. Just as those types and shadows that you just gave us, Lord, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.